So, and then there's Scott McDonald, which
that was a keen tune.
It was a keen tune. He's a good fellow, you know.
And like you were saying as we were listening to it, that the politics may be a little wacky, but who cares? If a song is catchy, it could be about anything.
And I mean, he's such an enjoyable fellow. Like, you know,
Guar has catchy songs about rape and babies, you know? Doesn't matter what a song's about. It's catchy, it's catchy.
Yeah, and like I say, so he should be the musical shaman of some fairly large tribe, is what I think. Because I remember the first show that I saw of him, by the fifth song, it did not surprise me at all that he pulled out the didgeridoo.
Right?
No, not at all.
He's probably kind of like that Melissa McCready girl I played on a couple shows ago, where just one of those artists that stands out because they clearly are so in control of their craft. Like, they're not just hitting random notes or just kind of aping things. Like, they know what they're doing. That's what I got, the impression I got from that one song.
Yeah, it's weird. He knows what he's doing? Or rather, he knows how to do it, but I don't know whether he could actually tell you what he's doing.
Right. Well, maybe not, but that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole different kettle of beans, yeah. Right.
But I was thinking, too, of the if he was leader of some tribe. Like, what was that line he had? The weak will rise up and destroy the strong. What's nice about tribes like that would be that
the song was called As Time Goes On, right. As time goes on, the weak will rise and destroy the strong, which, if there are enough of them, they could eat the strong for lunch.
But see, what would be nice about that, though, is that a group like that would make very interesting artwork, yet would probably always be fundamentally harmless. Just clinging to their hopeless belief. You know, so
what I loved about the cafe so much.
Exactly. Interesting to watch, yet not really threatening in any real way.
Awesome.
Because, yeah, I mean, there's especially with music, there's all kinds of musicians that I'm sure I would never get along with, but they do the greatest shit. Evan Dando. I'm sure I wouldn't be close friends with Evan Dando.
I don't think anyone can be. You know?
But just
so emotional. He's so dead inside emotionally.
Yeah, it's like, wow, Evan Dando, I've listened to your music for hundreds of thousands of hours or something. And don't like you. Don't even want, maybe I would.
Who knows? I mean, maybe he's maybe he's an awesome guy and everything like that.
Well, I remember that used to weird me out with Matt Jenkins, where he was like, you know, with NoFX. He loved NoFX. Lately NoFX has gotten a lot shakier, but they were amazing for a while. And he's like, you know, but I don't even care if I ever meet Fat Mike, you know? And to me, that was like crazy, because I always wanted to be friends with everybody that I liked. But we were just talking earlier today, me and Brad were, about like Jimmy Carr. I've read some interviews. He seems like a fucking dickhead, but it doesn't matter. I'm never going to meet him. We ain't going to be friends. Who cares?
Yeah, like, and really, it turns out that maybe the better situation is that you're famous, you know, and you hate each other.
Right.
You know, because that way you can snipe at each other, and that's, you know, good publicity.
Well, even guys like, you know, the inroads that I have made, like Keith Malley, obviously I know him. I mean, I've run into him a couple of times, been involved in his various projects, but, you know, I don't feel like we're buddies. We're more work friends, and that's cool. That's fine.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with being work friends. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So,
So I guess that was yours. Anything else to say about these?
Well, there's one more thing. There's one more thing from that show.
All right. Yep. Well, let's take a quick break while
Play something from yours. Yeah.
Let's see. So, I believe I'm in a little bit of a let's turn things on their head mood again. So, let me see if I can find the most commercial song I possibly can of what I have here. Let's play some Linkin Park.
Holy shit.
Now, this is from the remix album Reanimation. This song is called My December. I think it was a B-side originally or something.
That's a good song. I remember when you were playing that.
Yeah, this is an excellent song. I fucking love this song. The original's not as good. The remix is very awesome. And Linkin Park is one of those bands I initially just... It happens all the time when things are popular. I just flat out reject. I don't even care if it's good or bad. I don't want to know.
That's because the bass line is so high, you know, when you get into it, or, you know, when you find out about them, the bar is just set way too high for it. You can't, can't possibly appreciate something under those circumstances.
And anything that explodes so fast and so many people like, I just distrust. It has to be bad. It has to be. Sometimes you go back and it wasn't bad, because Linkin Park... Man, well, I remember I was talking to Tony, the gay guy from Keith and the Girl fame, about Madonna, and how when you look at musical acts that have withstood the last, you know, 15, 20 years, there's very few. There is arguably Weird Al, but that's a different thing. U2, Madonna. U2, Madonna, fuck, who else was there? The Red Hot Chili Peppers, oddly enough. You wouldn't suspect that. I thought maybe there was one more, but there are not many. Because the point is, like with Madonna, say, it's not easy to write catchy songs. If it was, everyone would do it.
Yeah.
And Linkin Park, like, every song is catchy. Like, they really did work hard to make these songs some pop fucking masterpieces in their own way. Like, now that the heat's off and I can kind of ironically appreciate Linkin Park instead of... No, I guess how to... It would have been ironic if I were into it at the time just because of my, you know, cool blasé demeanor. Like, oh, I don't really like Linkin Park, but I really do like Linkin Park. But yeah, they're good.
Yeah. Well, hell, I mean, you know... Okay, good.
Maybe we should just play it? Maybe we're rambling?
I think so.
All right. Linkin Park, Reanimation, My December.
So next up, continuing the theme of songs that we like without irony and without comment, Hilary Duff, Why Not?
You think you're going nowhere when you're walking down the street? like you just don't care, then life could be so sweet. But why you wanna be like that, as if there's nothing new? You're not fooling no one, you're not even fooling you. So walk a little slower and open up your eyes. Sometimes it's so hard to see the good things passing by. There may never be a sign, no flashing neon light, telling you to make your move or when the time is right. So why not take a crazy chance? Why not do a crazy dance? If you lose the moment, you might lose a lot. So why not? Why not? Why not take a crazy chance? You're always dressed in yellow when you wanna dress in gold. Instead of listening to your heart, you do just what you're told. You keep waiting where you are for what you'll never know. Let's just get into your car and go, baby, go. So why not take a crazy chance? Why not do a crazy dance?
I just got a call-in request from my good friend Matt, who's at work. He calls me often when he's at work because he's bored there. He's a data entry guy for the evil UPS. And he requested TV on the Radio, the song... What is that song called again? Wolf something? Shit, I don't remember.
I don't know. You're the one who took the request.
Yeah, so. No, I don't see it here now. Whatever the... I can open the container.
Was it Woman
folder.
Or...
No, that was a different band.
Oh, okay.
Wolf Like Me. So
there we go.
Yeah, we're gonna play that to karmically brighten up Matt's day a little, even though he really can't hear it, you know, technically, because the show won't be up till later. But you know, in his soul, he can hear it. And we were discussing the weirdness of the TV on the Radio type phenomenon, where a band kind of comes out of nowhere. Although these guys have David Bowie on one of their songs, that's weird. But this is their first album, as far as I know. They're a new band, and it's just like. People know of them, you know. It's just you mention them and a lot of people will say, oh, them, you know. Brad's not real following.
No, I don't. I got either. You know, it's so weird, like, you know,
I'd only heard of them through Matt. I don't know how he found out, but
yeah, no, I heard of my them through a girl I know, Corinne. Yeah, and she was like,
is she the one who won't eat honey? I'm gonna ask you that for the rest of your life.
She's a vegetarian. She's not. She's a vegetarian but not a vegan. She moved out to Victoria. She's at, you know, Victoria University there.
It's a pretty place. Yeah. I've never seen the university, but yep. Victoria.
I don't really know her all that well, but like I get her live journal feed and she was like, this song by TV on the Radio is the sexiest thing I've heard, you know, however, in forever.
In the past decade.
Yeah, in the past decade, yeah. Yeah. And I was like, wow, you know, that I've got to hear what this woman thinks is sexy. And well, so, yeah.
How was it?
You know, I could hear the sexy rhythm, which is what she was talking about. It's there, you know. I don't think I've listened to it twice, but come on, there's just too much shit there to, you know, to listen to music twice.
Well, I was thinking that's one problem.
Unless
too.
I really like it, you know, it's like
that is another problem with the you know, radio music type podcast is a lot of times music doesn't really sink in till the second or third listen.
Yeah, so that's
me,
true.
I'm like, this is the best Smashing Pumpkin song you're gonna hear ever, and it's 7 minutes of pure joy. But if you heard it for the first time, maybe not.
Maybe not. It's like once you get used to the really grab your face songs on an album, and you listen to it, and you're starting to get tired of the grab your face ones. They're all starting to blend in, and the little mental compression algorithm is working on them. And oh, that was that song, but you've heard it enough times that you're like, oh no, yeah, that it just passes by. Then you're like, oh, what's this? Oh, oh, they're doing something very interesting there, aren't they?
Right.
Oh, what is to be done about this? I must tell the world.
Yeah. One thing I like about this, like, you know, just any kind of band getting popular, TV on the radio style, is I like the fact that even with...
They bring all their friends with them and you get to hear...
But, well, we were just talking about this earlier today at the pizza place. Even with the internet way of the world now, where everything is essentially up for grabs, that, like we were talking about Weird Al, how that last album, Straight Outta Linwood, was his most successful album to date, best-selling, highest-ranking single. Everybody could have downloaded it. But they didn't. I mean,
People bought it.
Sean had it, right? Because
Sean Given had it.
Yeah, you had the real album.
I downloaded it, but that's so because
Something biggity bam explodes, you're still good to go.
That's because I've been a Weird Al fan forever. I deserve to download his albums.
You know, You Make Me, our favorite Weird Al song. Yeah. Apparently, I was on Weird Al's Wikipedia page, and it'll explain what songs are parodies of what and which ones are sound-alikes of what. And that song is a sound-alike of Danny Elfman, the famous film composer's old band Oingo Boingo.
Right.
One song in particular. Right. So I downloaded an assload of Oingo Boingo albums, which I haven't listened to yet, but I will, because that song is great.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just great. And Danny Elfman is clearly top dog of film composing. I mean,
definitely.
Or one of the top three, at least.
I mean, you know, you can kind of always tell when Danny Elfman, you know.
Yeah, he's got his style,
scored,
it's good.
Scored it, but it's good. You know, like, you know, he's not Michelle Gondry. You don't go and say, oh, what that was Michelle Gondry? No.
Yeah, you go, that's fucking Danny Elfman.
Yeah, you go, oh, no, that's Danny Elfman. Of course it was. How did I miss that, you know?
Yeah, even Spider-Man, Danny Elfman. Yeah, you can always tell.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say? Something else I was just going to say. Oh, yeah. I think though, this wild west of the internet, I think the crackdown is coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
Because, BitTorrent, and it's the freeness that is paving the way. BitTorrent is obviously one of the most excellent ideas for data transfer. You know, it just makes sense. It's great how it works. I won't bother explaining. If you don't know, look it up. But
Fox, or trust us.
Yeah,
what all the good little children do is they trust us without question.
And Fox just recently started, and it made me BitTorrent is rampant. Everything, this TV on the radio song, it's like, I'll just go torrent it. Ding, 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 there you go. It's got 13 seconds left to go as we speak.
If you're a person I don't know and you're listening to this, I love you.
For future case we meet.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, not physically, but, you know, I love you. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so Fox just recently started, you can buy like official BitTorrents of old TV shows. Buffy is among them. For like $2 a piece, you can go download a Buffy episode. Which,
hopefully, a fairly high quality one. But,
well, I assume. And why would you at this point? But I have a feeling, not going to be too long, till I just wake up one morning and it's just going to be, it'll be like, I'll just be searching around trying to find the free shit and it'll just be a pain in the ass and it'll be too hard. And then on the other hand, all of the legal BitTorrents will be so in place that I'll go, fuck it. Okay, I want to watch Spike's Origin. I'll go pay $2. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just going to swoop down on us. And I don't think it shouldn't. I think this internet thing is insane. But
yeah.
But I think it's coming quicker than maybe people think.
Well, I mean, they're working on a new clean slate internet, right?
Right.
Which, you know, I've predicted for years that they're going to try. And, you know, they're going to try to lock it down. And I'm okay with that in some ways.
And really, all you got to do is make it inconvenient.
Because, like, half the
to get
traffic of the internet is, you know, spam email.
Right.
Still. And half the traffic of the internet is spam email because, whoops, hey, let's have a system that, you know, where I don't rant about the internet on the music show. I'm not going to do it. Man, but it's so easy to get me to do it, right? Like, you know, if I'm ever on a talking one of these shows, it's not about, and we get it on the internet, right. I'm just going to rail for like forever. So you might want to skip that episode.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be a good time. People like rants.
You know? They do, yeah. They
like
do.
People were saying the episode me and Spooky did together, I was kind of like, I could have contributed a little more, but people loved it because so much of it was him and D talking and he's not himself. Whereas when he's talking to me, he can rant about Al fucking Sharpton for 10 minutes and people are like, yeah, I love that. I love that, Spooky. So I was glad that I was there just to bring that out of him, frankly.
Cool.
What was I just going to say? Yeah, really, that's why I don't think the policing of the internet in some ways won't be too insanely difficult, because all you got to do is make it just a little inconvenient. Like, Self-Indulgence, even though I love that band to death, that the last official album they put out, You'll Rebel to Anything as Long as It's Not Challenging. I remember I spent a couple hours on the net dicking around looking for torrents or rapid shares or whatever. Just couldn't find them, and I was like, fine, I'll go fucking buy it. And it's insane that I didn't just go buy it. I love that band. Lemonheads, man, my favorite band ever. I didn't buy their album because I could fucking download it, but if I can't, I will just go buy it. And
well, it's not just that, right? Like, sometimes it's just the convenience, right? I remember,
although CDs are becoming rapidly ridiculous because I just rip them onto an MP3 player and they're dumb to own, so they're not really convenient for me. They're actually inconvenient at this point.
They are a delivery mechanism. But here's the thing, like, I actually briefly in like 2004 I actually started buying songs that I wanted off of like iTunes for like $1, right? A buck is a fair price. It's a bit pricey for one song in some ways, right?
I think it's okay, but I think like if you buy a whole album it should be massively reduced. It should be like $5 for an album or something.
It's $1 a song. It's usually I would go as high as like $8 for, you know, like an album, because you see, you know, like I say, the album has so much stuff on it, so they can pack an album most of the time,
right,
you know. It's
and say you only want Toxic because every other Britney Spears song on that album sucked balls, that's worth $1.
Yeah. to avoid getting the rest of them and needing to like and get rid of them. Yeah,
Toxic probably ruled is what I'm saying.
Toxic did rule. Yep. Yeah, speaking of stuff that you like, I think it's time.
We never did play Matt's song.
Not to us.
Oh, okay.
But as far as the audience knows, we did.
Yeah, no, but I haven't even really got a good segue. Let's play it right now. I want to hear it.
Okay,
see what this
cool
song is. We were just going to key it in later, but let's play this bitch. So TV on the Radio from Return to Cookie Mountain.
That's a great name.
Yeah. Wolf Like Me. Is that a reference to Mario, Super Mario World?
Cookie Mountain? Cookie Mountain. I think it might
be. It might be.
Because it was... Something in the Vanilla Dome.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of weird food shit going on in that one. Yeah,
Cookie. I'm sure. I bet Cookie Mountain is. Yeah, I think Cookie Mountain is a Super Mario World reference.
That is one of the tough choices of video game history. Is I guess I got to give the nod to Mario 3 for pure
joy of playing.
Well, for pure epic significance, historical significance. But I think maybe Mario World was better. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I think the problem is when you play Mario 3 and you go, well, if you go into any video game saying, oh, especially one from like the 80s, where you go, okay, I'm going to play this to beat it. The only one that's fun to do that with is Bionic Commando.
Yeah, that's a fucking good game.
Yeah, you know, but the only one that's fun to just go and play and try to beat is Bionic Commando, possibly Metroid, if you have a map.
Right.
But, you know, those two, you know, every other game, beating it is a chore. Right, including Super Mario 3, and you know, you go Super Mario 3, oh, and blow the whistles, and then suddenly you're in super,
hell.
Yeah, you're in super hard, world 8, right, which is just fucking insane.
You know, I think I am gonna have to give the nod to Super Mario World because I'm thinking of like, remember the Star Road? I mean, yeah, some of that shit was insanely hard, but like cool shit, like the two ways to beat the level, like the one where you had to dip down under the bridge and fly under it. It was insane. It was so cool.
Yeah.
What a cool fucking game.
No, Super Mario World, that was a, you know, it was good that came out for the NES because the SNES games were expensive.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, like, really, like Mario 3 and then Super Mario World. I mean, yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah. And then Mario 64. Talk about your 1-2-3 system-wide punch of insane greatness. Because even Mario 64, despite its technical limitations of being old, I played it like a year and a half ago because Aaron's boyfriend Derek got it. Yeah, I think I pitched in $10 for it. And it is fucking good. It really holds up. Like, it's better than It's not, I don't, it's better than like the GameCube one. It's better than all those 3D games.
It's better than Mario Sunshine, you think?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It was like the first one of those 3D games, and it's better than all of them. It's fucking, that's crazy. It's great. The draw distance is a little shitty, but.
Yeah, but that's a hardware limitation. Otherwise, you'd be laughing. The, SNES, like I say, SNES games were expensive, and when Street Fighter II came out, they were like, will the market support an $80 cartridge?
Well, for Street Fighter Two,
Fighter Two, like by the end of that,
they would support a kick in the balls just to buy it for that game.
Yeah, so the market would support easily $110 cartridge for Street Fighter Two when it initially came out. Yeah, so, they worked on that SNES version very long and hard to make it as good as the SNES could make it, and I think that was worthwhile.
Yeah, it was good.
Definitely the best home console.
Street Fighter 2 is still my favorite fighting game just because it's the only one I can play. I suck at every other one.
You know, it just gets back to basics. Or it doesn't get back to basics. It is basics, right? You know, characters have three special moves. The three special moves are similar to one another. There you go, you know. Everyone has three punches and three kicks. Or three special moves, which vary slightly depending on which punch and kick you use.
Although I very rarely used a lot of those punches and kicks. I think that was a little excessive.
For really
went light or strong. Didn't use a lot of mid. Sometimes, though. I mean, sometimes.
I never found much use for mid either. But
sometimes the Ken and Ryu leap forward toward the guy mid one.
That's pretty good. Anyway, we're getting a little abstract.
Yeah, but let's keep going because I got a Street Fighter story.
Oh,
now.
Cool.
When I moved out west, there's a little arcade on Granville Street that has Street Fighter 2, and I played it.
Arcade?
Yeah, they still got a couple of them kicking around.
Motherfucker.
All classic games, though, because they don't make arcade games anymore. I know they definitely don't make pinball games anymore. I don't know if they don't make arcade consoles, but I don't think they do.
No, they make Dance Dance Revolution ones, but I don't know if they count.
So there's some stuff. Yeah, and the guitar shit. They have some things. But I played it like every day until I could beat it on one quarter with Ken and Ryu. They're the only guys I can totally rule with. But it was cool to be able to play in the arcade again after all these years because things like Zangief's 360 pile driver, really not that hard to execute. It's just we've been playing it on a fucking control pad. It was never intended for that.
Yeah.
But with a joystick, not so bad.
Yeah. No, I loved playing Street Fighter 2 in the arcade, right? I think I beat it with every character.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm just flat out shit with
except Blanka. I can't do shit with Blanka.
I can never get into, and he's a lot of people's favorite guy, Guile. I just can't, the timing, he's so weird. I just can't get used to that lanky weirdo.
Guile's pretty neat, although my strategy had a lot of roundhouse kicking with all the characters, right? And because I played, like, you know, this was an original Street Fighter 2, something you could just... You know, something just barely that you couldn't freeze the machine,
right?
You know, so that was what I played
very
on. Very pristine, you know. Very pristine. No, you know, like
everybody did a flip when they jumped.
Well, where everybody does a flip, and you know, like the combos.
Some more barfing.
Like there were combos, but the machine didn't count how many hits you had in it for them. They were just an accident
of the program.
Of the program,
like the rocket jump, one of those delightful mistakes.
Yep, exactly. Beautiful.
Yeah, it really was. Good times. Although, well, that's enough, I guess, for Street Fighter.
Sure. Well, you know, we like, that's why we're such good friends, is that, you know, we can hang out and just talk for fucking ever, right? So
Zangief, though, was, I think, my late in the game favorite guy to start playing with.
It's so surprising when a person picks Zangief.
Yeah.
That's why.
Balrog, you know, I think
I love his dropkick. Right?
The boxer is too simple. I just couldn't get into him. But yeah, Zangief would surprise people when you win with him because he is so, you need to be close and you just run in and wreck the guy. It doesn't work against anybody who's even remotely good. But anybody who's a little rusty, you can really cream them with that guy. And it's just extra satisfying because you played with the big dopey dumb. Dope dumb.
It's like the Thought Lash deck.
Right, yeah. You know what? I found an old Magic the Gathering instruction booklet from an Ice Age starter pack in my mom's house the other day. It's amazing. The thing's like fucking 70 pages long.
Oh,
not even half English.
Describing phasing and shit.
Yeah, and it's amazing because it's when you get into the swing of it,
it's not too complicated. No,
but isn't that crazy that that game ever caught on?
But eventually they defined the fucking stack of execution. Yeah. It's a fucking computer program to run a turn in Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's true. But just seeing that thing, though, I was amazed that 12, 13-year-old kids and up the world over learned that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah,
it was a good fucking game. Nerd. TV on the radio. Wolf Like Me.
It's your turn in the barrel, buddy boy.
Oh, me? Really?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to play Gym Class Heroes because I love them. I think I've probably played practically the entire Paper Cut Chronicles album at this point. It really is. It's the best. I'm delving back just now into more into their album before that, their indie album for the kids, I think it's called. And that song, 85, which I played on my Frozen Day walk around, is fucking awesome. Fuck, that's a good song. Nothing else on it really is living up to that, but maybe I'll dig up some gems. But when I saw these guys the first year at the Warped Tour, it was like night and day, because I saw them again the next year after Cruel as School Children. No, it was right before Cruel as School Children was about to drop, as the kids say. And
Jesus Christ.
Night and day difference. I was just like, wow, this is not, I'm not digging this. And then the album came out and I was not digging that. But the year before that, it was like the half hour set of like the craziest, best half hour ever, because they just played every good song. I mean, they did not every, well, every song they played was like, you know, in the top tier of that album. It's just fucking awesome. And they finished off with this song, Nothing Boy versus Echo. What the fuck is it called? Where did I put that? It's got some weird ass name. They have a lot of weird names. I don't really remember the names of a lot of their songs. It's fuck, where did I put that? I'm all confused now. I went to a different director. Here we go. Kid Nothing versus the Echo Factor. This was the song they ended off with. So basically, I want you to imagine that. I've just been, had my socks blown off by this random band I never heard of, and then just played every fucking cool tune. Just every song was just awesome. And then they ended off with this one, and just couldn't have been better. I walked straight over to their little tent thing and was like, give me that fucking CD right now, because that was crazy. So this is Kid Nothing versus the Echo Factor by the Gym Class Heroes.
Now I could sit here and babble you with shallow babble and a bunch of punchlines you probably won't get or even use some big words that you'd have to look up, but I'm not a teacher, so go ahead and close your book up. I could tell a fairy tale so convincing and keep a straight face from beginning to happy ending. I could waste 32 bars telling you how to live, knowing damn well I used MTV Cribs for the blueprint. I could bore you to death with my past relationships or a little ditty about Jack and Diana. I could go back to childhood, dig up them skeletons and spin them at you with a catchy hook. Look, I could strike a nerve with some four-letter words that'll make Richard Pryor proud. Or better yet, I could sing a jingle that'll contort and mingle every single solitary letter in the alphabet. I can tell you whatever you wanna hear, but if I just said hello, would you listen to me? I can sell a blind man new ears if I just said hello, would you listen to me? I'm trying hard to make it perfectly clear, but I'm dying because there ain't nobody listening to me. Been relying on myself for more than 22 years and I ain't crying, I just need someone to listen to me. Break a break again, I get some reply, and maybe some kind of sign to let me know that you're listening to me. Just from time to time, I get lost in my mind, it's hard to find someone to listen to me. My ears were open when you needed some, get someone, now I'm hoping to hear something besides echoes every time I say hello. I could talk about my duds and my thrift store scores, but that probably wouldn't interest you. And why should it? I mean, I've seen a lot of shit in 22 years, but your feet in my shoes is not something I recall. And I've been known to drink 22 beers before a show, cause otherwise I probably wouldn't have the balls. I could make references to books I never read for the sake of sounding conscious, but that's just obnoxious. I could take off these bandages and expose these paper cuts and put them in the air with both my middle fingers up, or talk about myself in third person like I'm better than you, cause there's nothing else better to do. I could attack your character from 80 different angles, cleverly explaining exactly how whack you are. But why do that when it's a well-known fact? You buying this CD is potentially feeding me. Come on. I can tell you whatever you want to hear, but if I just said hello, would you listen to me? I can sell a blind man new ears if I just said hello, would you listen to me? I'm trying hard to make it perfectly clear, but I'm dying because there ain't nobody listening to me. Been relying on myself for more than 22 years and I ain't crying, I just need someone to listen to me. Break a break again, I get some reply, and maybe some kind of sign to let me know that you're listening to me. Just from time to time, I get lost in my mind, it's hard to find someone to listen to me. My ears were open when you needed some consoling, now I'm hoping to hear something besides echoes every time I say hello.
So that is kind of a subdued ending to the album version, but at the end of a crazy awesome half hour of power show, man, and probably, I don't know if anybody else in the crowd even knew these guys besides me. It was like a powerful, unifying fucking, oh, it was so good. So awesome. I wish I could go back and see that again.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned how, you know, you went directly to the tent and said, I need the CD.
Right. Right. And I got the side project of the guitarist. I didn't listen to it a lot, though. I didn't like it as good. But it's too bad, too, because it was such a fucking moment in time where that album came out. It had been out for, I don't know, a little bit, but less than a year when I saw them. And then by the time they came back, they had a new album, like basically a year apart, roughly. And now if I was to see them at a show, I mean, they only ever played Warped Tour in Vancouver. They never played on their own, but it's going to be a lot of the new stuff mixed in. And some of it's okay. Queen and I is pretty catchy, and, you know, there's some stuff. But even on YouTube, I found that old song, 85, I was just saying I liked. Now it's all rocked up, and it's different. So you would never get such a pure, just flat-out, awesome, top-to-bottom Gym Class Heroes show as you would have in 2005. That was the only time, because now they've got this new album full of shit that's going to be worked into the set list. And before, it was just that stuff and maybe a little bit older shit. Man, like, time machine time. It's what you need. I need to hire them for my fucking private birthday party if I get rich and tell them to only play songs from that album. Just play that album top to bottom, guys. I think I'm maybe a little too in love with that album, but it's just so fucking, man, it's great. Good, good, good times.
Yeah. So,
as I learned from Spooky and his knife, you should never love something that can't love you back, because then either you'll lose it in Central Park or they'll put out a second follow-up album that you don't like as much. Whatever. I'm sure that relates somehow.
Definitely. Oh, yes. So, speaking of love.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Well, when I...
That's going to sound awesome.
No, it won't.
You got to snort.
I have a cold, goddamn.
Well, yeah, like that one I did when I was walking around in the cold. It wasn't until toward the end where I was like, oh, man, I've been sucking in my snot the whole time.
You know, it was remarkably, you know, I barely noticed because I live here, right?
Right, yeah, that's it's just how it is around
here. In Canada, you just, you know, people are, you know, snuffing all along the...
We were speaking of love.
Yes, yes.
So, love for delicious mucus.
So, at the tail end of the Stomp Atlantica show, my friend Rich, he's everybody's fucking friend, but, you know, he's a good guy. He talked to me. He introduced me to Metric, you know, and many, you know, he's got great taste and stuff. And he said that a friend of his told him that when he saw the Ghost Bees, who were about to play next, that he would fall in love twice. Now, I wasn't sure whether the guy meant once for each girl, or once for the girls and once for the music. I like to think the second,
right?
You know, one. That's how I like to interpret it, because I certainly, that's what happened to me, right? And so, of course, I had to go after they played, and I was like, do they have a CD?
And this is quite a CD. We got red construction paper folded in order to accommodate a CD, and blue felt attached to the side in a sort of delightful pattern of no distinct meaning, with what was this, some gold
some foil,
gold foil, and handwritten Ghost Bees, very nice little logo. Now that is,
it was wrapped in string, but I needed to open it.
Wrapped in string. How much was this thing?
$5.
Wow, because I'd almost charge more just for
Okay, open up the inside.
Okay,
whoa, wow.
Now that is some dedication. Basically, the CD is painted blue paint on the top, but in a streaky fashion to look cool, and Ghost Bees written on it. Now, I bought a Dionysus EP one time that was hand-numbered and lettered. It was like, you know, number whatever of whatever. And
I have that.
Yeah. And
I haven't opened it, though, but
it wasn't as good as the album that came out before that, which I guess I don't have it on me. I should play some of their shit sometime. But... and then Ghost Bees written on it. Very nice. Very swank.
So I saw them, and one of them pulled out a mandolin and
don't see that every day.
Yeah, and one had a guitar, and I was like, oh, I might actually be in for a treat. And given what I like in music, which is, you know, Pretty Little Women singing.
I was gonna say Hot Chicks and Plenty of Them.
Yeah, Pretty Little Women, right. Pretty Little Women singing Pretty Little Songs, you know. That's definitely my style, you know. And I talked after I got the CD, I talked with the one I found the most attractive.
Good call.
And they were both lovely, but one was just more my style, I suppose. I didn't, you know, obviously it's like, you know, obviously I wasn't trying to get anywhere, but I did say
it is just more fun to talk to attractive people.
Yeah, well, it's more fun to talk. It was fun to talk with her. You know, I said, so where does a young lady like yourself know anything about Thundercats? You know, because there was a reference, merely the word Thundercat in one of the songs, but I knew that you know, that was it. And she said, well, I don't know, they were there when she was, you know, a kid. And I said, yeah, maybe I just watched cartoons too long. You know. But yeah, that was, you know, that was pretty receptive. You know, proves, you know, a very disappointing thing is that, you know, the world is full of you know, beautiful women who play guitar and smell like patchouli.
You know, I don't know that I know what patchouli is or what it smells like.
Well,
I've heard that often in reference to underground cafe dwellers.
Well, patchouli is, it's a smell that's just strong enough and similar enough to marijuana smell that, you know, it overpowers it. It's very capable of overpowering marijuana smell. It's very strong, and with my sensitive nose and sinuses, it's like it could never work between me and someone who throws on the patchouli.
So
not just because I don't smoke weed.
That is what it's for, then, though. That's not just an accidental.
Oh, it's not a, you know, like, yeah. I mean, it's no, there's no accident. There's no accident about, they go together. Yeah. Weed and patchouli. Yeah. Well, like I say, not just cause I don't, not just cause I don't smoke weed, because, you know, fuck patchouli. I'd rather someone smelled like weed.
Many employers would not say the same, of course.
No, true. So yes. Anyway, they sang, and they were beautiful. The songs were beautiful, and so we'll be playing track 7 off their demo CD. Now, this leads into what I was going to say about both Great Plains and Ghostbees. Both bands are from Halifax, right? Now, here's the difference between an indie band from Halifax and an indie band from anywhere else. When I put Ghostbees and the Great Plains, it didn't surprise me as much with the Great Plains, because it's a much swanker outfit. When I put both CDs in the disk drive, the Winamp repository of information had the track lists for both of those CDs.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm surprised and impressed, especially
the Ghostbees. Yeah, the 2006 demo, it said, and it had the track list, and yeah.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
So, like, that's nice. The, like, you know, that's the difference. When I put shit from Fredericton in, you know.
I got one the other day. It was, actually both. Pimp T's first album and Hopeful Melancholy's first EP. Both were known, but they're several years old.
I'm sure Pimp T did it himself.
Yeah, probably. He's got a new album dropping, you know.
Oh, really? How far is he dropping it?
I don't know what that means, but I liked hearing it.
Well, you know, like from a roof. Like, yeah, like, you know, I like him, but I always got kind of a bizarre attitude off of him that, you know, just kind of turned me off.
I heard. Yeah, and Yeah, Pimp T. I don't know what to say. Yeah, you got to respect the work ethic. We'll say that.
Yeah, well,
we'll say that and leave it at that. That song Northside, I heard that got some play on CBC. My dad said he heard a little story about it.
Cool.
And I got to admit, I dig that song, man.
It's a fun song. It's ridiculous, but I listen to a lot of ridiculous music, right?
I was at the North Star like last week getting dinner with my parents. How can you not sing, you know? I always see the same broken down old car outside of the local North Star sports bar, because it was there. That's the car. I saw it. That's just awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Make me feel bold, like a horse to the scarlet coats that passed by our yard. You were so wise with your summertime haircut and wavering truths. Your lies could turn shit into silver. And the neighbors come by with helping hands. They'll pelt rocks to knock her off her wicked feet. And she died alive, caressed and compromised. And the sweet sounds of stones against her knees. Keep your dress on, this won't last long. Keep your dress on, this won't last long. Keep your dress on, this won't last long. To break the wills of little girls like me. Open hearts with warm farewells and fulfilled charity. In the meadow she lies with purple insides. The snow will wash her sins for piety. As the hangman waits, will I paint my face? Her bones are buried somewhere in the snow. In the spring, her cheeks had grown windows, her toes were all blossom, and the children danced around her till the dawn. Raven croaked a mule song. With perfect bliss we walked on. You know the weak ain't all that headstrong. Keep your dress on, this won't last long. Keep your dress on, this won't last long. To break the wills of little girls like me.
So that one was called Isabel, because I don't think we mentioned before. Now, what I am going to play, let's keep with this sort of the semi-hippie vibe of Sublime. Good old Sublime, everybody knows them. Probably everybody knows these songs, too. But
if it weren't for Date Rape...
Yeah.
I got that right, right?
Yeah. If it wasn't for Date Rape, I'd never get laid. So here's a couple live ones. Yeah, this guy, the famous story is he died of a drug overdose very soon before... their most successful album.
That doesn't sound like very live at all.
Well, this was recorded before his death.
Pretty fair. Rocking in the graveyard. Yeah. Rocking in the USA.
Oh, wouldn't you imagine if Bradley from Sublime came back in order to front a psychobilly band? Oh, man, good. That'd be the greatest ever.
But it would be the greatest psychobilly band ever, for sure. I mean...
Now, this is a band, I always liked Sublime, but I didn't flat out love their asses as much as a lot of people did, but I do definitely enjoy them. And these are a couple live tracks. We got STP and Ebon. Both just great, back to back. Let's go.
Cool.
STP! Something that made me want to burn my fingers, throw them to race pad where we hide. There's always lots of fun stuff to do. Relax and design a brand new tattoo. Play with my crossword puzzle book. I'm even learning how to cook spin.
There's our emotional sublime time, Eben. Eben, you used to be cool, Eben. We used to hang out and do stuff. Now you're like a crazy Nazi. What happened to you, Eben? You've changed, Eben.
You're gonna get raped in jail, Eben.
Yeah.
And then it's gonna change your life. You're gonna be like, what am I doing?
Maybe that's why he became a Nazi.
Maybe. Because he was raped in jail?
By a Jew or something?
Possibly.
Anyway. So let's see. What you got now, Brad?
Quite a few things.
We're probably wrapping up, but wrapping up means 10 more songs or something.
Wrapping up means a few Yeah, couple this, more songs
this
here.
This may be a part A and B show, because this is going to be like 3 hours. It's going to be awesome. Maybe, yeah, probably, I don't know.
Okay, let's see.
And I'm going to love it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to put it together tonight and listen to it. No.
Oh, good,
no,
okay.
Okay. So, I'll fill time. Well, I think the songs. So, cut me off at any time. So, I've often noticed, as you walk down the street, that daylight, it makes things visible. And in nighttime, though, you still, well, it's still the daylight, really. It's just reflecting off the moon. Really, the daylight, it's the only light. Please save me. I don't know what I'm saying.
All right. Hey, oh, perfect. Okay, Sublime. And we were talking about, you know, talking about how interesting it would be if the lead singer came back to life and fronted a psychobilly band.
Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome?
So what we have here is a song by Rockapella called Zombie Jamboree. My friend Jeremy turned me on to this. And
I bet Matt Jenkins would love this song. I mean, just from the title.
I bet he will, you know, because like if you ever watched Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Rockapella is the
oh, is this them?
That yep, yep. Do 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 do.
Pretty catchy.
Yep, yep. Well, Zombie Jamboree, you'll be like, yeah, I think Matt will like this. I didn't consider that when I, you know,
I mean, anything with the word zombie and jamboree in it, either or would probably do.
It's an utterly delightful song.
Nice,
but of a different kind of delightful. But definitely, definitely give it a listen.
All right, let's prepare for some delight.
Back to back, belly to belly, yes, my friends, back to back, belly to belly.
It was a zombie jamboree, took place in the New York cemetery. It was a zombie jamboree, took place in the New York cemetery. Zombies from all parts of the island. Some of them were great Calypsonians. Since the season was carnival, oh, they got together in Bacchanal. And they were singing back to back, good, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, it's a zombie jamboree. One female zombie, she wouldn't behave. See how she's dancing out of the grave. In one hand she's holding a quart of rum, the other hand was knocking a conga drum. You know the lead singer starts to make his rhyme, while the other zombie is rocking in time. One bystander, he had this to say: it was a thrill to see the zombies break away. And they were singing back to back, more belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, a zombie jamboree. And they were singing back to back, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, a zombie jamboree. Hey, back to back, everyone we sing back to back, and belly to belly, then back to back. One, two, three, four. Zombie jamboree from Times Square to the Statue of Liberty, uptown, downtown, zombie jamboree. Whoa, 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 yeah, yeah. There's a high wire zombie between the World Trades, a King Kong zombie on the Empire State. But the biggest zombie's Tokyo to Rome, the zombies who call the city home. Back to back, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, it's a zombie jamboree. And they were singing back to back, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, a zombie jamboree. I need the chorus. Back to back, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, a zombie jamboree. Back to back, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, cause I'm stone dead already. Back to back, belly to belly, a zombie jamboree.
Brad's in the bathroom, so I'll do this particular transition on my own. I was just saying, this is one of the wackier ham radios. I mean, there's some weird shit. Like, what was the cause for that song to ever be recorded? Zombie Jamboree. What? That's mental. It's like, you know, in the vein of the Monster Mash, but that's weird and silly and awesome. But in the spirit of I did this one on my own. I should have obviously waited for you, Brad, because I'm already forgetting what I'm saying. In the spirit of duality? Polar opposites, I guess.
Ah, yes, that would be correct.
I'm going to play
contrast
a guar song, one of my favorites. Very short, very fast, very guar. And follow that up. It's called Ham on the Bone.
Moon Pod. Or no, Death Pod. I still have to download that for myself.
That whole album is fucking sweet. That's okay. And Salaminizer, the first track, possibly my favorite guar song. So good.
Cool.
So guar, Ham on the Bone, followed by the Gondarvas, First Day of Spring.
Yay! Oh, I love that song.
It's an excellent song. It's their first single, I believe, and it is springtime now, so it's very appropriate.
That's going to be sweet. I should totally just lay on the floor while I'm listening to the Gondarvas.
Well, that's like... And the Gondarvas were very, very awesome band. It's too bad they're not around.
Yeah, Smiling Buddha albums. Cabaret.
That was 5440.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
I'm an idiot.
Gondarvas had... what was that song? Sold for a Smile was the third album. Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, Smile. Artwork. Yeah, it's the Smile and Smiling Buddha Cabaret.
As much as the Canadian content law, in theory, stupid and ridiculous, I do like it just because I still heard every song you Americans have ever heard. I know all your bands. I know all that shit. You don't have any hidden secret shit that I didn't hear.
We don't have to listen to them 40 times an hour.
Well, the thing is, I got all kinds of hidden weird shit you guys never heard. Have you ever heard of Glue Leg? No, you didn't. They had some excellent songs. You never hear them. It's gone.
Well, I mean, really, you could get away probably just listening to local music almost anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
And these guys, the Gondarvas, I don't think they ever made any kind of impact in the U.S. I would be surprised.
Yeah, like if I had to only listen to Canadian music, I could do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I mean, you know, because that would be stupid.
There are some good shit, though, man. You remember fucking...
But if I could only listen to, you know, British or European or any other English speaking.
Well, thing is mostly the ties we have, though, to America, that we are identical, except
we're colder.
Except
3 months out of the year.
Know about trailer. Well, me and the guy Picard 102, John's his real name, that we were staying at Spooky's place. On the subway, we had this little conversation about Trailer Park Boys.
You can't do that.
Right over Spooky's head. Yeah. No fucking clue what we were talking about.
Take that, Spooky.
Yeah, I mean, and
you effeminate black man.
Yeah, and Trailer Park's the only example I can think of TV right off. Well, there's some stuff, but Trailer Park Boys is so good. But musically, yeah, I mean, tons of stuff throughout my life that...
I saw an ad for the Trailer Park movie.
Yeah, well, it's on video now, DVD.
It's already happened?
Oh, yeah, it's happened. Shit. I went to see it. It was okay. They did about as well as they could, considering it was a whole movie to fill, you know? It had some drags, but...
Yeah, shit.
But not bad.
I feel like I totally missed that, which I guess I did.
Well, it is weird, because, like, season 6 of Trailer Park Boys is out, and it's only 6 episodes. It's very short, and I just haven't bothered to watch it. Like,
it's half a British season. Right? That's
You do get... Well, it's The Office had 6 per year, but you do get your fill of Trailer Park, and you got to wait to refill the engines. But still, a fantastic show. Corey and Trevor, they left the show. Hmm. Not on it anymore.
Well,
it was really just one of them. Michael Jackson, he left. That's his real name. Yeah, and so the other guy left too, because you can't have Trevor without Corey. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, did you watch Short Bust?
No.
No, with Jennifer Aniston. It's hilarious.
Why? What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
Oh, people who have unfortunate names, and they had a character who had a name of Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, like, I just, see. Well, it's like an Office Space Michael Bolton.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, Michael Bolton. Shit. That's a much better reference.
So the thing with the Canadian musical content is that I don't at all... It did not detract from anything, you know? Everything that was big in the States, was still big here.
Yeah.
But we got this little cool undercurrent. And as an example, I don't think...
I miss when Much Music was a real music station.
Yeah.
You know? They used to have shows like French Kiss and the Clip Trip. I loved Clip Trip so much. Like, you know,
weird foreign.
We get you know, exotic music from far off lands rather than just.
That's like the one thing we've been kind of holding on to. Me and Matt was like the wedge, and now it's on. I think it's still on, but it's like 3 a.m. once a week or something.
Yeah,
it's a shame.
They used to have tons of.
You know, and I mean, granted, you can just jump on the internet and get videos, but you gotta.
Sometimes it's nice to have a ritual.
Yeah, or even just to, like, I remember one episode of The Wedge I saw had, what are those weird commies named? They did, Can't live my life with a rhythm or rhyme. Got a buzzy, but I can organize my time. I'm hoping it would come back to me when I'm singing. Buzzing by the Asian Dub Foundation. That's what it was called.
All right, right, right.
I was never huge into that band, but I liked some of their songs. That song was cool. Plus, Gomez, 78 Stone Wobble, was on that episode.
Gomez.
And I was like, wow. I mean, I became a mental Gomez addict for a while. And what else was in that one that was inspirational? Oh, it was Rabbit in Your Headlights by Uncle. And it was all in one episode. Like, bam, bam, bam. Awesome. And like, how on the internet would I just find those? You know, it's nice to just have them fed
to you. Yeah, there's a value to editorship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as the cool undercurrent of Canadian music, you don't get much better than this. Gondarva's First Day of Spring. However, first, Gwar.
Gwar.
Ham on the Bone.
Eat your car.
Throw one
Yeah, First Day of Spring. Remember the first time I saw that video years ago? Just good. It's like this guy. It's kind of creepy. He's all in his like weird torture-looking chair with all these tubes and shit hooked up to himself. And as the song escalates into its grand finale, he pulls out the tubes and stuff. And I guess he goes outside and plays in the sun. Cancon.
Diddy Bops.
Diddy Bops. I like that name.
This one.
Now, who and, might the Diddy Bops be?
Okay, well, the Diddy Bops were on Conan.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure I didn't play one in my original.
I don't think so.
I brought maybe one of the remainders. Yeah, it was one of the remainders. Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna get that because
you know, I don't watch a hell of a lot of Conan these days. Just catch him here and again, but I did for quite a while. I don't know. Me and Matt had like a 6 month period where we watched it almost every day because we loved him. But I don't think he's having as much fun as he used to.
No, probably not. I mean, it's what's been a it decade, been? 20 yeah. years?
Yeah. 10 years, yeah, and a little yeah. 10 or 11, and another 4 till he gets to take over for Leno. And, yeah, I don't know. It's just that vibe where it seems like he's faking it a lot. He's always faking it, but it really seems like he's faking it these days. I have a feeling he's probably snippy backstage.
Probably.
I could be wrong, but I don't know.
Yeah, so,
it's
yeah.
Because I don't... The self-effacing comedy is not, generally speaking, my favorite thing, but Conan pulls it off. Every night he's like, oh, here's tonight, the show's gonna be awesome. Not like last night, and he might say that every day for 11 years, but it's always funny the way he says it. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, so yeah, the Diddy Bops come to me from a number of different directions. They were Neil Gaiman's younger daughter's favorite band for at least 1 month in 2005 or 6.
Two Neil Gaiman references. How odd. Nah. I mean, just unusual. I mean, we've been talking a long time, but...
Yeah, no, yeah. I bring them up all the time. No, the... But yeah, and like I said, they were on Conan, and they are a fantastic little... They are a girl duo, one of whom plays a mandolin.
There's several girl duos tonight, I believe, as well.
Yeah, yeah, and one of them plays a mandolin. Another, there's some banjo in this song, and yeah, it's just you know, I mean, there are a lot of songs that I'd like to play of theirs, but as usual, I'll pick the one that I think is most easily likable, and that would be.
Let's bring up the list. Here we go.
And that would be Ooh La La. By the Diddy Bops.
Excellent. Track 3 on Something.
What among the lovers, what twang of temptation, what brought the house down? Strange sleepwalkers on the block, unfamiliar writing on the ceiling when she looks up. Mama buried Papa at the roof where he slept, one leg on each side of pointed shingles. Latest tests prove that she's happier with more. The oyster is open for Annie to pearl. Still she's got 3 different lullabies to sing. These fruited images are dead. Was it the fighting? Was it the fist? Was it adventure with a jealous twist? Was it desire for another's kiss? What brought the house down? Turmoil and passion, such wondrous things. What they call summer lovers happening in spring. Who's dreaming of who tonight? Who'll be waking by your side at the dawning's first light? Do all you can to save a soon-to-be-dead path. person's heart, another person's hand. The grass is always greener till it's covered up with sand. Was it other things? Fate, felicity? What rousing temptation? The fist? Was it adventure with a jealous twist? Was it desire for another's kiss? What brought the house down? What brought the house down?
So what'd you think of that?
I liked it. That is one of those immediately catchy.
Yeah, I dedicate that one to Matt.
Nice. Yes, you did. Yeah, that's true.
Because, you know, he digs the banjo.
Yeah, and that has the... That's like all... Like I was saying, the parts of that song remind me of like Neil Young a little bit. And then it's got the Tegan and Sarah chicky aspect going on. And the banjo. Who doesn't love the banjo? There's like a lot of converging goodness in that.
Oh, shit. That's too. Right. The Ghost Bees brought out the banjo, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for nice. One song. They were like, this is our banjo song.
It's hard to go wrong with
banjo. And she was like, I'm not really a banjo player. So, you know, if anyone... Yeah, if anyone knows better than me...
if anyone wants to come up here and play banjo? What?
Yeah, totally. Anyway, so, let's see. What do we got here?
Now, this famous band, The Pixies. I have a feeling maybe what happened with The Pixies is like what happened to me with Star Wars. Like, I didn't see it till I was like 21. It's not going to work anymore. Same thing with the Pixies. Heard years and years and years. Pixies, 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 Pixies.
Yeah.
Then I finally heard them when I was like 24. You know, years after the fact, it was like their greatest hits or whatever. And it's like, okay, it's okay. But what the fuck? How does everyone in the world love the Pixies? How did they sell out two back-to-back shows in Vancouver in 6 seconds or whatever? You know, they're good, but they ain't that good. Come on, be
it's
serious.
Hard to say. I guess anything Nirvana imitated has got to be good,
to
right?
Some
so goes the theory.
That's right. And, that being said, one of my favorite Weezer songs, possibly my favorite Weezer song, it's like a B-side or something, turned out to be a Pixie song all along. Because then I heard the Pixies one, and I was like, oh, well. But I'm going to play the Weezer one, because I like it better. Although, I almost played, the Pixies have this other B-side called Into the White, that's like a 6-minute, very simple loop, kind of like the same thing again and again. Very simple song, but so good, Into the White, awesome. Mm. But we don't have time tonight. The show is so fucking tight. There's no room for that song.
No room whatsoever.
But there is room for Weezer's version of Valoria. Very pretty tune. So Morrissey, I've heard of Morrissey many a time. He was he the guy from the Smiths?
He's the Smiths guy.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Well, actually, I guess there's another guitarist in the Smiths who's, you know, like considered to be like the Smiths guy, depending on who. But yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I heard so much about this guy that there's got to be something to him.
Shit. I mean,
I was meant to dive into his works.
Yeah, no, my friend Kevin hooked me up with Morrissey. It was really weird because, you know, I kind of knew him from, you know, the 24-hour comic book day and the Fredericton comic jams.
Oh, not Morrissey. For just a sec there. I was thinking, well, you guys listened to a lot of Morrissey while you're doing that? But you're a friend.
Yeah. So... Well,
we just blast Morrissey for 24 hours and draw comics, motherfucker.
Oh, man, the comics you would produce. I mean, I think that's what Kevin does, right? Because Kevin is a huge-ass Morrissey fan. So, yeah, I was on an instant message. You know, I was talking with Kevin.
I think I'm just getting tired, but just imagining you sitting there and the first message, like, it's been quiet, then the message is just... Do you know Morrissey?
That's kind of what it was, right? He's like, do you know Morrissey? The message was pretty, it got to that point pretty quick. It was like, so have you ever heard the Smiths? I go, I've heard of them. I don't know. And he's like, he sends me an MP3. Boom. It's this charming man, actually. Which is a great song.
I believe that was one of the soundtrack selections in China Clugston Major's.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
I wish I could get that girl to make me a mixtape. She seems to know what's going on in the 80s.
Shit.
I should just track down all the shit that she mentions. But anyway,
But it's like, you know, and it's like, and it has, like, this charming man starts off with such a catchy riff that, you know, you could just listen to that for like half an hour easy, right? You know, dun, 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 dun.
Let's make a half hour rap song that uses that as its bass loop and see if
it could be done.
Nice.
It could be done, I'm sure. We're going to have to download it.
Yeah, just for us.
Just for us.
Not for you guys.
Not for you guys.
You probably heard it. I have.
Not for you two. Yeah. But yeah, so, and you know, so he said, I was, and thankfully, because I knew that if I didn't like the Smiths, I knew that was going to be kind of a stumbling block dealing with Kevin.
Right.
But thankfully, for both of us, you know, it's like, I loved it. I was like, this is totally my kind of shit. This is really my thing. And he sent me more MP3s on this same chat session. I was like, yeah, this is great, right? Like, yeah, and I truly, like, you know, the Smiths, I really should run out and, like, try to find, like, as much Smith stuff as I can. And I did, actually, and I...
Although it is weird. Sometimes, I mean...
Really good shit with, this, you know, Smiths.
Isn't it weird, though, when you hear so much about a band and then you do finally go out and buy a CD or something and it's not that good? Like, for me, it was the Pogues. I always heard about the Pogues. Everyone, Pogues, Pogues, Pogues. And I love Flogging Molly, so I figured the same type of shit. Just couldn't get into it. Just don't know. Don't know why they got so weird.
I'd heard so much about... I'd heard the name, the Smiths, so much, but had never heard a note, somehow. I managed to avoid hearing...
They did seem... Well, maybe it's...
With the exception...
British, right?
Yes.
They didn't seem to be like a radio thing so much.
Yeah, well, no, because... Well, you know, it's like... With the exception of... How Soon Is Now, which everybody has heard.
Probably I have too and don't know.
Yeah, oh, you would. It's like, you know, I am human and I need to be loved.
That's him. Yeah, Evan Dando made fun of that once during a live thing.
Yeah, no, and Tattoo did a version of it, you know. So, it was just totally my thing. And I was, and everyone was pleased that.
Is that how he sings all the time? That's him? That's Morrissey? I am human.
Oh, you're going to love this. Yeah. Yeah, it's like...
Because see, when the Evan Dando thing, it sounded mocking when he briefly broke into that song. But then I heard the real song and I was like, no, I guess he was actually just estimating that guy's singing. He wasn't making fun of anybody.
I mean, the thing is, you know, Morrissey, he sings kind of like nobody else, you know? It's definitely an affectation of some kind, like Richard Cheese, you know?
Right. Yeah. But like, that guy from Green Day sounds British, you know? Things like that.
Yeah, well, you know, Morrissey is British. There you go. But yeah, Morrissey does really sound like that, as far as I can tell.
Good enough. And what song are we listening to now?
We're listening to We Hate It When Our Friends Become Successful.
All right. I could argue that, but it's maybe really I can't argue with the delightfulness of the song. We'll see.
Yeah, the
that's the real thing here.
Yeah, I say it's
he really is the original emo boy, eh? I mean,
oh shit, super, it's so super long girlfriend in a coma. I know.
And just a super long song title. That's one of the hallmarks of modern day.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, there's nothing emo did that. I mean, you know,
and back in the day, that wasn't a bad thing. You know, that was cool. It's just recently that it's become one.
Hairdresser on Fire is a great song. Because, you know, it's like, because the song's about how the girl is making excuses to not go out with him, right? But he has just such a blatant way about him, you know? Like I say, he's like, this is the truth. And you're like, dude, you're not supposed to tell people the truth, right? And he's like, eh, so what? You know, women won't fuck me if I tell them the truth. Well, there we go. Who cares? Right. Screw them, or rather not, you know? Or that's my interpretation of it, you know? But Hairdresser on Fire. So the idea is, what? You're on fire? You can't make time? You know, ooh, so busy. So, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So, yes, this one is definitely one where a person should listen to the lyrics.
Right on. Morrissey, We Hate It When Our Friends Become Successful. Now I can definitely never say that I haven't heard Morrissey. I mean, there it was. I've heard it, and it wasn't bad. Didn't mind that at all. Quite a poppy little nice ditty with, well, like you're saying, very nice sounding songs that not always about nice things.
Yeah, pretty catchy songs about terrible, terrible topics.
Now, this song, excuse me, everyone. It's been a long show.
You're telling me.
This is kind of in the vein of like Frank Darabont and how Shawshank was like his first movie. He's never going to top it. And it's like, wow, it's too bad. You know, it's a shame. I'd like you to, but you ain't going to. This is the last song on the first Saul Williams album. Not the first thing he did. I mean, he's had little singles twice the first time.
Oh, this one.
This is, it's a wicked long song, but man, it's good. Like, I don't think Saul...
I remember this one. This is awesome.
Granted, as I mentioned at the beginning, Saul has teamed up with Trent Reznor for the next album. Very interesting, but his first album was wicked good, and this song, I don't think you're going to top it, Saul. I'd like you to, but how can you?
Is this the thing about the dying on the vine or
yes.
something? Oh, man, this is okay, stay tuned, people. Do not skip this one. This is my favorite.
It does long groove out toward the end, but the first half especially is so fucking good.
Yeah, that's my favorite Saul Williams song, I think.
I think you're right. I think I'm with you. I actually had, for my book Smile that I haven't finished yet, someday, God willing.
God.
I'm putting it on his shoulders now. the whole end sequence was very patterned around, if it were a movie and I could choose the soundtrack, how would Saul Williams's song Wine fit? And I ended up splitting it into three different parts because the song is that long and that varied.
A movie is split into three parts.
See, like, the song is long, but it's not boring because the last bit is pretty long, but like it changes. It's dynamic and it's just good.
Yeah,
God, it's good.
This is, yeah, like,
So crazy good.
Yeah, it's my favorite Saul Williams song too. So,
and Saul Williams is an epically great fella.
Yeah.
So here is Wine by Saul Williams.
The new wine is dying on the vine. How much must you age before you're ageless? Align yourself with the divine. Allow your inner sage to burn your rageless. As I find through testaments of time, there is no space for time within your mind. If you're looking for yourself, yourself you'll find. Through the crystal of your spirit, you'll inherit the divine. You are God, you best believe. Don't waste your time down on your knees. It's everybody for themselves. You are the fire and the cross. Don't save your soul, it's our loss. Collective soul, collective wealth. The new wine is dying on the vine. How much must you age before you're ageless? A line yourself with the divine. Allow your inner sage to burn your rageless. Cause I find through testaments of time, there is no space for time within your mind. If you're looking for yourself, yourself you'll find. Through the crystal of your spirit, you'll inherit the divine. You are God, you best believe. Don't waste your time down on your knees. It's everybody for themselves. You are the fire and the cross. Don't save your soul, it's our loss. Collective soul, collective wealth. Yeah.
So do you know how I feel tonight? Now can't you see I'm surreal tonight? See how I shine, I'm a star. See, I'm surreal tonight.
run. Peak cotton ready, aim as steady as a ray of the sun. My ammunition, intuition fully clips from my lungs. Son, you could never guess what planet I'm from. My MC name is my birth name, my first name. Alias is all of us, soul of us, the fall of us. Who surely come when we deny it? Loudest nigga gets quiet. This inner piece is a riot. Sell your soul if you wanna, but that don't mean I'm a buyer. See, I've been conscious, saying not to stay offensive and quiet. And I ain't gonna lie it, be too hard to deny it. I ain't from your block and never had to deal with your shit. Never had a Glock, never kept a rear with no bit. And when I saw a nigga like you, son, I practically hit. Cause you did what you did, and I wasn't the kid. Don't give a fuck now, I'd be the first one to play a hate. The eye of the needle set the record straight. And I retire late, retire late, retaliate, retaliate. And I be fishing on that same star you be wishing on. Make your move, son, you know the mission's on. So never question who I am. God knows, and I know God personally. In fact, he lets me call him me. In fact, he lets me call him me. Never question who I am. God knows, and I know God personally. In fact, she lets me call her me. In fact, she lets me call her me.
So do you know how I feel tonight? Now can't you see I'm surreal tonight? See how I shine, I'm a star, yeah. Now do you know who you are, yeah. Now do you know how I feel tonight? Now can't you see I'm surreal tonight? See how I shine, I'm a star, yeah. Now do you know?
On a hill and memorize the moon. I know the cloud forms of love by heart and have brought tears to the eye of a storm. My memory banks, vaults of autumn forests and Amazon river banks. And I've screamed them into sunsets that echo in earthquakes. Shadows have been my spotlight as I monologue the night and dialogue with days, soliloquies of wind and breeze, applauded by sun rays. We put language in zoos to observe caged thought and tossed peanuts and P-funk at intellect. The motherfuckers think these are metaphors. I speak what I see. All words and worlds are metaphors of me. My life is authored by the moon, footprints written in soil, the fountain pen of Martian men noveling human toil. And yes, the soil speaks highly of me when earth seeds root me, poet, tree,
Now, maybe I'm too serious, too little here to matter, though I'm riddled with the reason of the sun. A stand-up comet with the audience of lungs. This body of laughter, is it with me or at me? Hue more or less, though gender's mute. And the punchline has this lifeline at its root. I'm a star, this life's the suburbs, I commute.
Everybody still with us?
Ooh, I hope so.
11 minutes of Saul. Time well spent, I say. And now, let us reward everyone with yet another long song.
Why not?
But this is undeniably a great song.
Oh, isn't it, though? I mean, like, a lot of people are used to hearing, like, a certain portion of it, and that's great. But the rest of the song is magical.
And for the full trance-like effect, you really, yeah.
You got to get into the whole thing and listen to it. And, because...
And cause what we were referring to, of course, is
Halcyon and On and On by Orbital.
Made famous on the Mortal Kombat soundtrack.
Yes, but when they sampled it at the end of Mean Girls... I do believe my soul lifted.
It was a good choice, huh?
You know, I was like, that is so awesome, you know? And it was the music was just perfect for it. And, everyone is used to hearing, you know, just that the little bit that's in Mortal Kombat has like, but the rest of it is just transcendent and very pretty. I'm all about pretty music that doesn't get in the way of my thinking. I like to think, and
I do remember at the time that Mortal Kombat was big, that soundtrack. I mean, it had Juke Joint Jezebel and the George Clinton famous Mortal Kombat song. I do remember, like, I never skipped this song. I listened to it all the time, yet I never did look up Orbital. I mean, I'm really not a fan
I did.
Of dance
I've looked up Orbital
at all, so how are they?
Oh, Orbital are sweet. And I say it that way because they're a British band, and that's how they refer to plural groups.
Right.
But they have like a thing of the Doctor Who theme song. Like, they're totally massively, awesomely technoed out, and they have a thing from The Beach. Yeah, shit.
In The Beach? Because, I remember I liked the Beach soundtrack a lot, too.
So they have that weird song that samples and repeats. It has bits of Leo saying stuff and that one, that's by Orbital.
And I don't care what anybody says, The Beach was a good movie. Fuck all y'all.
That was cool shit, you know. People were like, oh, what are you gonna do after Titanic? Well, I haven't seen Titanic, so
And people considered it a stumble as well for Danny Boyle of Trainspotting fame. But it was easily the second best after Trainspotting.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I've watched it many a time. Yeah, I really liked it.
And Orbital is wicked. Like, wicked awesome, and, you know, like, especially wicked awesome if you're like me and you like weird 9-minute techno songs,
right,
which I do, and they have ones, they have such great titles that I want to know what the, you know, it's like, you know, like, The Girl with Sun in Her Hair, and it, you know, it's like,
yeah, I have a tough time.
It makes me wish I did drugs.
I was going to say, with techno-type bands, I have a rough time with them. Because I don't do drugs, I think. I got big into The Prodigy right after Fat of the Land came out because they're like the pop music version. And I remember I saw something on TV where some chick was complaining, I love Prodigy, but their songs are too short. It's because you're on E, fuckhead. You know, the songs are fine. But who else did I look up? Speaking of Trainspotting, the guys that did that song at the end when he's walking across the bridge Getting Blurry, Choosing Life.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the
yeah,
big
yeah.
climactic finale song. What is that band called? I don't remember. But I looked them up, and I didn't care for their shit much at all. And who else? Coil, I think. They had Nine Inch Nails connections. I looked them up. Couldn't get into them. Hard for me to get into dance music type. You know, the long techno stuff.
Yeah, it is tough, right? Cause,
but it can't all be bad, so maybe Orbital's the one for me.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. I wonder if I still have the Meltdown mix. That's an awesome... Anyway, that's a different topic for another day. Anyway, so everyone should just lay back, enjoy. If you do drugs, you should.
if you haven't yet, congratulations.
Yeah.
Perhaps a corner has been turned, so let's immediately just do away with whatever progress you've made. Do drugs right now.
Very well. And you know,
or maybe go have a nice bath. You know, people don't have radios anymore. They have like little iPods. Those probably can't electrocute you, right?
they still design. Actually, I saw this thing in Walmart. It was a device to float your, you know,
nice. I really think iPods
it's like
shit.
$40.
But they should be waterproof at this point. Why not?
Yeah, well, you know, it was an iPod waterproofer, you know, like with speakers.
Maybe I'm a little attached to having an MP3 player constantly on me and headphones on. But, yeah, sometimes if I got to go take a shower and I can't find some speakers to hook up to my little MP3 player to put it on the counter, it's annoying. It's like,
what you need to be is you need to be totally rich.
Right.
And that way you can have speakers installed in your shower. And if you think you singing in the shower sounds good,
right,
you know, like every, you know, so, yeah, you'd have, yeah, like speakers in the shower, you know, behind some glass.
Yeah.
And, even if I'm not rich, and I'll find as you took off your clothes, you would unplug your, you would plug your iPod in, and you'd have to go about a half a second maybe without music. I don't know.
Can no,
you
I can do go that? For that. That's, okay. Yeah, that's one thing I was thinking is where would my MP3 player? I mean, I don't even have an iPod. I got a weird little thing from China that my friend Mark got me, which is awesome. But where would I put it? And would the headphones get in the way when I'm trying to shampoo? You know, it wouldn't be, it would be awkward.
Yeah.
At best, but still, yeah.
Halcyon, and on, and on, and on.